Hey everyone, this is John, and this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. There was a Nintendo Direct yesterday, and you know what that means? That means we got a Nintendo Show Direct just to break down everything that happened during this Nintendo Direct. It was about 46 minutes long, and I'm just going to jump right into it. They really came out swinging by announcing a new Fire Emblem for the 3DS. There's no title yet, but they started off showing this really stunning slow-motion cutscene, and really when I was watching it, for the first couple seconds, I thought maybe this was Shin Megami Tensei Crossfire Emblem that they were finally showing off for the Wii U. But then once they showed the Pegasus Knight and some of the other scenes, I figured it was pretty much just Fire Emblem. But I thought it was going to be a Wii U game because it looked so nice. But then they, you know, showed the actual gameplay, and it's very clearly a 3DS game because it maintains that same style from most handheld Fire Emblem games. One of the really cool things, though, is that you have your battle map, and then instead of going to another screen or having another screen, like, do like a little picture-in-picture overlapping the battle map, when you go into a one-on-one battle, or two-on-one, two-on-two, because the dual battles are returning this game, but when you actually enter the battle scene, it does like a little zoom-in transition to that particular scenario. So it's kind of cool that it's a little bit more, I don't know, what's the word, fluid, the way you move into that battle scene. But you know, like most Fire Emblem games, at a certain point I'll probably turn off those battle scenes just because it makes the game a little bit easier to get through at a brisk pace. So they did talk a little bit about the story and how it is being written by Shin Kibayashi, who is apparently a pretty famous comic and manga writer in Japan. So otherwise, it seems like a lot of the same crew is returning as did for Awakening. And I think the reason they brought this up is because they wanted to mention that there's going to be more choices, they call them, that have a greater effect on the world. And I'm thinking that it in some way affects the narrative of the game, the different choices that you're able to make. So rather than it just affecting, you know, who lives and who dies and, you know, your tactics in battle, it'll maybe have more of an effect on the arc of the game and maybe have multiple endings. And then they also mentioned new challenges. I'm not exactly sure what they meant by that. They didn't go into too great a detail, but maybe there'll be like bonus challenges in different maps and something of that nature. So yeah, new Fire Emblem. It's really exciting that they're making another game. It's not Advance Wars, but it's still really fucking awesome that they're going to be putting another one out onto the 3DS. So after Fire Emblem, they moved on to another 3DS game, which is a dual pack puzzle and draw. And just as a real quick side note, did not announce a release date for Fire Emblem just yet, but I suspect this will be kind of their big fall 3DS game, like the November 21st release, so to speak. So next up, they announced a dual pack for the 3DS, Puzzle & Dragons and Puzzle & Dragons Super Mario Bros. Edition, and this one they announced coming out in May. And if I'm being totally honest, I'll probably pick this up, but I'll probably move straight to the Mario Edition just because, you know, it's something familiar. I don't know how often or how much we've talked about Puzzle & Dragons on this show. I don't remember ever mentioning it, but it's a fairly familiar game to most people who keep tabs on gaming in Japan. It's a really popular game over there. In the Mario Edition, you're kind of moving through this Mario overworld. It has a level select, and it looks a lot like the new Super Mario Brothers on the DS world map. And all of the match 3 puzzle pieces have been morphed into Mario icons, fire flowers and leaves, and penguin suits and such. So, yet it retains the exact same gameplay as Puzzle & Dragons, the match 3 mix with the RPG battles. And you're able to recruit enemies just like in Puzzle & Dragons. But instead of, like, monsters and warriors and dragons and such, it's Mario characters, Mario, Luigi, Toad. They also showed recruiting enemies into your party, like Goombas and Koopas, Cheep Cheep, Piranha Plant, Thwomp, Hammerhead Brothers. So the Mario coat of paint makes me a lot more excited for it. I probably would have played Puzzle and Dragons if they had released it on its own. And it's interesting that they're releasing it as a dual pack instead of like doing Puzzles and Dragons and then later on redoing the Mario skin to it. So it's two games in one, and it's coming out in May. So it's a pretty cool little addition to the DS library. Pokemon Shuffle is coming to the eShop in February, and this is a free game, and it's another match 3 puzzle game with battles, RPG battles, except they're Pokemon battles, of course. And it keeps all of like the type alignments and the leveling up from Pokemon games. It's a free-to-play game, so they limit you in the amount that you can play. There's like little heart things that will indicate how many, I believe, battles that you can play, and there's a timer to when they refill. And you can earn more hearts probably through some in-game purchases. But then those will allow you to take more turns. But from what I've seen of this game is correct, there will also be other ways to earn extra turns or extra battles without having to pay for it. I'm getting the strong vibe that this is a game that you can play entirely for free and get through it all without having to pay for anything. But we will see when it comes out in a few weeks. And then, after the focus on 3DS for a few games, they announced that there are Wii games that will be coming to the Wii U eShop. Mario Galaxy 2 is available right now, and January 22nd, Punch-Out will be available, and then Metroid Prime Trilogy on the 29th, and they're all going to be half price for the first week after they launch. Right now, Mario Galaxy 2 is $10. And there's some gamepad compatibility with some of them. They didn't say for all of them. And they also did announce that there are more coming, so it'll be cool to see Wii games landing on the eShop. Now, they're not really getting the HD treatment that Wind Waker did. It's pretty much a Wii virtual console. You're not getting things like HD full upgrades, Miiverse support. You probably won't see much off-TV play with these. But it's a cool way to get really good Wii games really cheap and just have them available on your system at all times. It's unlikely that I'll buy any. I might dabble into Metroid Prime Trilogy just because it'd be cool to have those games all available digitally to play through. I've been kind of wanting to play through Metroid Prime 1 and 3 again. So that might be one that I dip my toes into, but I have a ton of Wii games and a lot of Wii U and 3DS games to catch up on. So I don't think this is a service aimed directly at the longtime hardcore fans, even though I'm sure a lot of us will buy these games anyway. I think this is kind of aimed at the crowd that maybe didn't pick up a Wii or have a whole lot of Wii games, and it's a really cool way for them to sort of buff up their library and keep a steady stream of games coming out. So, I mean, that essentially means that there are NES, Super NES, GBA, and Wii games available on virtual console services, but no N64 GameCube yet, which is a little weird, but it is what it is, and it's cool that they're making these available for people to play. They kept the Wii U news rolling with Kirby and the Rainbow Curse. It's coming out on February 20th, so we got a solid release date there. And they talked, you know, about the gameplay. You know, nothing really new came out of this other than, you know, there's going to be little collectibles, collectible music, collectible figures within the game. They talked about the Amiibo support, which we've already talked about in another show. I think this was their official announcement, but it's been kind of speculated on what the Amiibo support is going to be for this game for a little while now. But it looks like a really cool game, and you know, it looks a lot like Canvas Curse on the DS a while back, and it does have the multiplayer co-op support for local multiplayer, which looks really cool. They did talk about how there were going to be levels without the only platforms you'll be able to move on are the ones that you draw, so I'm wondering how that's going to work, if it works at all, with the Waddle Dee multiplayer support. And the fact that this one is coming out as a budget title, pretty much all sources are indicating that it's going to be about $40 when it comes out, is also very, very cool. So after they talked a bit about the Kirby amiibo, they announced Wave 4 of amiibos, which is going to be Robin from Fire Emblem, Lucina, Pac-Man Wario, Ness, and Charizard. And I believe they announced that those ones are coming out in March, but now it seems that they might be split up a little bit in the fourth wave there. But then they also announced new amiibos, which like a Super Mario edition, which is a little bit surprising because they're not done with the Smash Brothers editions of amiibos yet. But there's going to be a new Mario, a new Luigi, a new Peach, a new Yoshi, and a new Bowser, all in different stances from what they are currently. And then also a Toad for the first time. And this one is coming, this wave of Super Mario amiibos are coming on March 20th to coincide with the release of Mario Party 10. One thing that they did make sure to make very clear is that these duplicate amiibos will function with all of the games previously, like the Mario, for example, the Mario amiibo, that one will function with Smash Brothers and all the other Mario games in the exact same way. So they'll have different stances, but they'll essentially be the same amiibo in terms of functionality. But one thing that you will have to do is if you want to use like this amiibo with Mario Party 10, since it saves a little bit of data, you'll have to delete your Smash Brothers data, which is a bit unfortunate. It's a shame that they didn't have more save space, essentially, on these things, but it is what it is. And I'm sure if you're like a level 50 amiibo Mario in Smash, you know, maybe Mario Party 10 won't be worth it to delete that save data. But they did talk about Mario Party 10 a bit. They mentioned the different modes. Party mode, which is the classic Mario Party adventure, like party game with all the mini games and stuff packed in there. There's also the Bowser Party mode, where the one person plays as Bowser and tries to foil everybody in the mini games. And then Amiibo Party is the new mode that they mentioned. So essentially each of the Super Mario Brothers Amiibo that work with the game will also unlock a special board based on the theme of that character. They mentioned Luigi and how there will be like a vacuum on that stage, and the vacuum is how you take things from other players. And then like the different Amiibos that you use with the game, you can assign special tokens to give them different skills on the maps that you play. So, you know, it just adds some content to the game as well. It adds the different mode. Oh, and it also works with Donkey Kong, Wario, and Rosalina, those three amiibos, as well as the Super Mario Edition ones that they announced before, and their duplicates. So, and then they wrapped up the Mario Party 10 news with that the fact that they're releasing bundles with different amiibos, so keep an eye out for those. This one, as I mentioned before, is coming out March 20th. It might be one that I dabble in, depending on what else is coming out around that time and what else I want to be spending my money on. So we'll see, and you know, we'll go from there. And then they kind of wrapped up their little amiibo segment with news for Captain Toad. Since there is a Toad coming out in the Super Mario Edition wave, they announced that Captain Toad will work with that Toad amiibo, and it unlocks little pixel Toads on each level. I guess maybe it's an extra little challenge that you can complete as you play through the game. I don't know if maybe they'll update the game to keep track of the progress of the Toads that you found in the levels. I don't know. It seems like a small little addition. I guess they don't have to update the game at all, so it's cool if they're doing something with it, but it's not really something that I personally would want to go back and find all of the pixel Toads now that I'm done with the game. It's it's something for people who would, I guess, really love the game and want to go back and play through it again. It'll give you an extra little puzzle or a little thing to discover on each level. So, after all of the little amiibo updates, they moved on to Splatoon, which they officially announced will be coming out in May. And they spent a lot of time talking about the hub world, which is kind of the world that you enter your online matches. There's shops, there's different Splatoon characters running around that people have posted or uploaded to the internet to populate this particular hub world or plaza. And in the shop, you can buy things like hats and shoes and clothes to customize your the look of your little squid character. You can also buy guns, and you buy this all with in-game money. You earn money through the multiplayer mode and then can spend it customizing your character. So all of, like, the different gear will modify your stats. They mentioned your speed and your strength. I don't know how many other stats they'll have in there, but we shall see. And you can also, like, go up to other little squids in the plaza and check out their gear and see how they've modified their stats. And they mentioned that, like, that's something where you could get, like, inspiration for what you want to, like, have your character be. And it'll also give you an idea for how things affect stats before you buy them. So you'll be able to see, like, if I use this and this together, what's that going to look like before you go ahead and make those purchases. And then you can also buy the guns, which, you know, you carry three different guns with you at all times. You have your main weapon, you have your sub weapon, which kind of looks like mostly like traps and obstacles to leave in people's way, and then your special weapon. So that's really, like, they didn't show a whole lot of new gameplay stuff. They just talked about this hub world, which is cool that it'll have, like, that a lot of online interactivity there, just not like just in game, but have like an offline area. I highly doubt that there will be voice chat in this area, which I'm personally fine with. There's things that I say that I probably shouldn't say to people over the internet. But yeah, Splatoon is looking really cool, and it's great that we got a release month for that one. Up next, they talked about even more DLC for Hyrule Warriors. They announced this one coming out as February 5th. And this game has just gotten a tremendous amount of support and extra game content. This one unlocks, or rather downloads, new characters. Tingle, who fights with a rupee bag, balloons, and the power of dance, which is absurdly awesome. And it also downloads Young Link, who fights with the Kokiri Sword and also has the Fierce Deity Mask to allow him to transform into Fierce Deity Link, which is also extra awesome as well. And then, of course, you get the extra adventure mode map. There's three extra costumes as well. It looks like there's one for Sheik and Impa, and then a Skull Kid costume. I'm going to guess for Link or maybe Lana, but we shall see. It's just really awesome how they continue to support this game with all this extra stuff for it. And then after Hyrule Warriors DLC, they showed a trailer for Xenoblade Chronicles X. No combat in this one. This was all just moving throughout the different environments and showing off the huge expansiveness of this game. And this game, I don't know if I could get more excited about it, but this just looks absolutely fucking awesome with, like, all the huge locations and the amazing-looking exploration and all these vast landscapes and gigantic monsters roaming through them. It looks to have all of the best things from Xenoblade Chronicles in this one. And then they did also reconfirm a 2015 release date. Next up, they moved over to Mario vs. Donkey Kong Tipping Stars. This one's coming out on the Wii U and 3DS eShop on March 5th. And this one allows you to create custom levels and share them over the internet. And it's called Tipping Stars because stars are kind of your currency. You earn stars by beating levels effectively. And what you can also do with these stars is when you play someone's level over the internet, you can tip them if you think they designed a good level. And then they can use the stars that they've earned or the stars that have been tipped to them to buy more tools to create different types of levels. So it has a cool little economy to the game. So the really interesting thing, before I forget to mention it, is that it's essentially cross-buy. No matter which version you download, you get a free download code for the other version. So you get both versions of this game for the price of one. And it seems like that sounds essentially like cross-buy to me, and it seems like that's Nintendo's first venture into cross-buy territory. And it's a really important step for them to continue to move into this sort of modern approaches to downloadable content. So it's an interesting looking game. I've liked the Mario and Donkey Kong games in the past, so I'll probably be downloading this. And hey, you get both versions for the price of one. That's pretty awesome. Next up, Bandai Namco kind of teased a project they were calling Project Treasure. Didn't announce a name for it or a release date, but they did kind of mention in passing that's a four-player co-op action strategy game, and they also made sure to mention that's going to be free to download. So, and that might be like the one third-party game that comes out on the Wii U in 2015. So it's definitely one to kind of keep an eye on. But, you know, I assume we'll get more information on this one at E3, perhaps. So we'll see. Then they did their kind of standard eShop sizzle reel with a twist. Instead of just showing clips of games, they actually described them as well. But I'm just going to run through them real quick. Elliot's Quest, coming out in February. Black, also in February. Citizens of Earth and Gunman Clive 2 are coming out in January. Episodes 2, 3, and 4 of Moon Chronicles are also January. Etrian Mystery Dungeon, which is coming exclusively to the eShop, no package version of that, is coming in just spring. And Story of Seasons, which they were very careful not to call Harvest Moon, is coming out in March. And then January through March, the next round of Sega 3D Classics will be releasing, probably one every couple of weeks or so. And after their little eShop highlights, they showed Fossil Fighters Frontier, which is coming out March 20th, and not a shit was given by anyone. And that's when they switched it over to Reggie, and he officially announced that the new 3DS is coming out February 13th, and it's keeping the name, which is a little bit silly, but there it is. Apparently they're not too worried about confusion, even though it's caused problems for them in the past. But, you know, that's the name of it, so we'll just keep on keeping on. And, you know, it's essentially what everyone knows that it is. Only the XL version is coming to North America. Only the XL is announced for North America right now. Maybe at one point they'll bring the standard size new 3DS to North America. And it's announced, the colors announced are red and black. And all of, like, they covered the hardware features, but those have been known for a little while now because it's been out in Japan for so long. The two things that stood out to me as far as the hardware description was, of course, a longer battery life, which is great. Slightly longer than the other 3DS models. But, you know, every little bit counts. And then the auto brightness adjust is also a pretty cool little feature because sometimes I'm moving to darker rooms as it gets later at night, and I don't always adjust the brightness right away. So it's cool that it'll do that for you. So after the new 3DS, they talked a bit more about codename Steam and about how they can control the camera with the new 3DS C-Stick. And they also talked about some Fire Emblem Amiibo support, which is pretty cool. So, you know, the new 3DS will have the near-field communication, so you'll be able to scan in your Fire Emblem Amiibos, and they will become playable characters. Now, the regular characters in the game, when they die, they can be revived at a checkpoint, but in keeping with the Fire Emblem permadeath tradition, when a Fire Emblem character dies in a mission, they cannot be revived at a checkpoint. So you'll have to rescan them in when the mission is over. And then the other little extra tidbit they dropped is that there are more Marth Amiibos coming. So I just feel like it's silly to think that they would ever discontinue any of these things if they think they would keep selling. And clearly they think that there's still a market for Marth and there's still some functionality out there for them, so of course they're going to make more. And then the February 13th news continued to roll on with Ace Combat Assault Horizon Legacy Plus, which is coming to North America on February 13th. And they talked about the new 3DS C-Stick camera controls, which was a big highlight. And then also the Amiibo functionality to unlock different paint jobs for your plane. And they continue the 3DS game news with Xenoblade Chronicles for new 3DS coming out in April. And they decided to drop the little tidbit of information that Monster Games is porting it to the new 3DS, not Monolith. So that's what they've been up to. We've been kind of curious on this show what Monster Games has been doing for the past several months. So there it is. They've been working on the port for Xenoblade Chronicles. It's kind of funny that they've become the go-to developer for porting console games to handhelds. We'll see what kind of changes they bring to the game, because they changed a few things about Donkey Kong Country Returns for 3DS. So we'll see what they do with Xenoblade to kind of make it more portable friendly, because this is a game that's very, very big in scope. It's probably not one that I will pick up, because I've already put 140 hours into the one on the Wii and have a new file started up. So it's not likely that I'll pick up this version as well. However, since there's a really high price on the Wii version of Xenoblade right now, it's a hard game to get, then this would be another good option for people who, you know, either don't have a Wii or want to update their version or haven't played the game yet and want to play it on a handheld. So after Xenoblade, they showed really quick Ironfall Invasion, which is an eShop game for the 3DS coming out in February. And it's a third-person cover shooter, which is not a genre we see a whole lot on Nintendo systems. So it's kind of cool that it exists. It's a shooter, so I'm not super interested, and there's a lot of other things happening in February. So I'm not exactly stoked for this one, but you know, just the fact that, you know, they'll have that option in the eShop library is pretty cool. And then they talked about a couple of special edition new 3DS XLs. So they talked about the Monster Hunter 4 one, which launches February 13th with the new 3DS, and the Majora's Mask 3D special edition, which also comes out on the same day as the new 3DS XL. So these they're special editions, so they got the little engraving or designs or decals on the front of them, and they also coincide with the release of those games on February 13th. That's a big day for Nintendo. So yeah, the new hardware is always fun. I'm in a position to where I may hold off on the new 3DS XL for a little while, just because it hasn't even been a year yet since I got my Yoshi XL, and I'm not quite ready to retire that one yet. And there's, you know, there's games that have advantages of using the new 3DS, but you know, maybe during the holiday season, that might be the right time for me to pick up a new 3DS XL. That way I've gotten some life out of my Yoshi XL, and maybe at that point there'll be some other interesting things that are exclusive to the system aside from Xenoblade, which is a game I already have. So it's a cool hardware revision. I'm excited to pick one up eventually, but not so excited that I'm going to get caught up in all of the hubbub around pre-ordering these things. And some of the pre-orders are already sold out at certain locations. So I am going to stay out of this one for now and hold off until another time. All right, so what I usually do after these January Nintendo Directs is just do a breakdown of the next several months to, you know, just kind of see what the lineup looks like. And I think we have pretty solidly the lineup up until E3. So just to run through it really quick, and I'm not going to spend too much time detailing these games out again or doing any predictions or anything, because actually the show at the end of the month, the official show, me and the guys from the Nintendo Fun Club podcast are going to be doing a crossover show where we talk a lot about 2015 and what's going to be coming out and predictions and what we're most excited about and that kind of stuff. So that'll be a fun show. And so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time predicting anything beyond what we already know. But in January, we of course already have Mario Galaxy 2, also getting Punch-Out Metroid Prime Trilogy, as well as Citizens of Earth on the Wii U eShop and Gunman Clive 2 on the 3DS in February, which is a real busy month for Nintendo. on the Wii U, got Kirby and the Rainbow Curse, the Hyrule Warriors DLC, Elliot's Quest, and Black on the eShop, and then on the 3DS. Super, super busy for Nintendo. Majora's Mask, Monster Hunter, Iron Fall, Ace Combat, Pokemon Shuffle. Tons of stuff to spend money on in February. In March, we're going to see Mario Party 10 on the Wii U. And then on the 3DS eShop, we're going to have Mario vs. Donkey Kong, Story of Seasons, Codename Steam is actually eShop and retail. Fossil Hunters Frontier is also a retail and eShop game. So Codename Steam, that's the big one for me that month. Mario vs. Donkey Kong will also be another cool one probably. And then in April, that's the big game in April, Xenoblade Chronicles. Outside of that, we really don't know much about that month. But then in May, the big Wii U eShop, the big Wii U game, not just on the eShop, but retail as well, as Splatoon. And that's going to be probably what takes the Wii U into E3. And, which, you know, at retail, retail Wii U games, we got Kirby in February. Then we got Mario Party in March, and then Splatoon in May. So that's pretty solid. That's, you know, not too dissimilar from last year. Last year we didn't get a game in March, but we got Donkey Kong in February and Mario Kart in May. So, you know, we got Mario Party to kind of fill up the lineup a little bit more. And then on the 3DS in May, that's Puzzle & Dragon and Puzzle & Dragon Mario Edition, the dual pack. And the 3DS is really busy in 2015 so far. So, rumors of that system's demise have been greatly exaggerated. And then, you know, just vague spring, we got Etrian Mystery Dungeon coming to the eShop. Maybe that one will be another one to fill up the April slot. Or, you know, that one, spring is kind of vague. It could also mean as late as June. And then beyond, really the only things that Nintendo talked about in this Nintendo Direct beyond May in 2015 is Xenoblade Chronicles. Maybe Project Treasure is a game for this year, and Fire Emblem, of course, which is very exciting. So on that note, I'm going to bring this little show to a close. A really exciting Nintendo Direct, and they're usually pretty cool, because I don't really have super high expectations for these things ever. I usually just expect some nice updates for games we already know about, and it's always really cool to get new announcements as well, and new details about release dates and things like that. So I was pretty happy with this one, especially. God, the Fire Emblem announcement is just, it's so cool to see that they're continuing that series and it's kind of becoming a higher tier series for them than it has been in the past. So, next up on the Nintendo is going to be the Super Nintendo. It'll probably be about a week, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more, a week, give or take, from this show posting, before we post the Super Nintendo show. But we got a couple of really cool games to talk about there. And then, as I said before, we'll wrap up the month of January with the Nintendo Fun Club crossover show. So, till next time, everybody.